All right, good morning. I will call the order, regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, November 8, 2016, Election Day. Anybody who's listening to this and has not voted yet, what are you waiting for? Get out and vote. First item on our agenda, as always, is we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you. Good morning. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. It's an opportunity for members of the public to address topics on today's agenda. Anybody wishing to do so, come right up to the microphone. And seeing no one moving the microphone, we'll move right on to agency reports, and we've got RSVP here today.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey,
wow. Good morning. You too. I noticed you tried to stay away from the camera, huh?
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Kaylin Peterson. I'm the Executive Director of Central Iowa RSVP. And first of all, I want to thank you for time on the agenda. And also thank you for all of your support that you've given to our program over the years and your support of senior volunteerism. So it's always a privilege to be able to share our annual report with you every year. So you've got that in front of you. I'm just going to touch on some of the highlights and some of the things that we've had going on. First one is a new partnership that we started about a year and a half ago with the Story County Sheriff's Office. And we had what ended up being a statewide training last spring called Forging a New Partnership, Law Enforcement and Volunteers. One of our main programs besides volunteer management for 55-plus is our volunteer management for emergencies, and that we contract with Story County Emergency Management, the City of Ames, to provide the management of volunteers that are mobilized in disaster. So in the past, we've had volunteers that have been pre-trained to staff a volunteer reception center and also a non-emergency phone bank. So what we've been able to do is cross-train those volunteers. So the phone bank volunteers have been cross-trained to staff a tip hotline in the event of a missing or abducted person or child. So they've been trained by the Story County Sheriff's Office to do that. We've got about 30 pre-trained volunteers that are ready to go if that hotline needs to open up. And then the volunteers that would manage a reception center have been cross-trained to be able to manage volunteers that would come in the event that there's a search that has to be done. So that's been a new partnership that's been developed and worked very well. And the DCI is actually trying to take the prototype that we've developed here and expand it across the state. We had a big move after 20 years being over in West Ames, our Ames office. We moved to a location on the north side of Ames. It's been a great opportunity for us because we now are sharing space with the Volunteer Center of Story County, so we're able to share resources and be right there together, so that's worked out great. On the inside of the report is the breakdown of different volunteer assignments that we've been working towards engaging volunteers in. One at the top of Healthy Futures, so in addition to our volunteer management services and our disaster emergency services, we also manage a volunteer driver transportation program. This past year, we had 57 volunteer drivers that assisted 122 citizens getting primarily to and from medical appointments. That's our main goal. I would say probably 90% of our clients are elderly individuals that are living at home or living independently and just need transportation services they can no longer drive. So it's really become a pretty important service to a lot of those folks that want to stay in their homes as long as they can.
Well, and having 1,600 hours in this program. So remind us, Kaylin, how long have you guys been providing this?
Since 2010.
And how have we seen it grow over the years?
It's grown quite a bit.
Feels like the numbers I'm seeing here, it didn't feel like we were anywhere close to 1,600 hours last year.
I think we were somewhere around 1,400. It's leveled off a little bit, but the first 3 or 4 years of the program, it just skyrocketed.
Right.
So those volunteers are also driving 21,175 miles. They're using their own vehicles, their own insurance. The trips there's no charge for, but we do accept donations. And a lot of our clients do want to donate so that they can sustain the program. We do reimburse our volunteers for mileage. Some of them don't request it, or sometimes they request it if it's a longer trip. But we've seen the number of locations that we have trips requested to grow pretty bit. We have 39 locations in Polk County where we've had Story City residents needing to get to. And so that's been growing.
Can you talk a little bit about the process and the time for notification, say a person needed to get someplace, say doctors or whatever, do they have to call at a certain time? And then you have to match up availability of drivers. Just kind of walk us through that just a little bit. And then the other question was, what if there are people listening to the recording and they have an interest, how do they contact you about wanting to volunteer their time?
Okay, great, good questions. When our client comes, we do ask them to fill out an application or a registration form. So all of our clients that are accessing our service do fill out a registration form. This past year, too, we had a new kind of twist on that in that two of our volunteer drivers who are retired nurses have started doing what's called an in-home assessment of those clients. So when we get the application, we get the application to those two gals. They go in and do an assessment to determine if they're really appropriate, if their cognitive abilities and their physical abilities are appropriate for our program. Because if they're too frail or if they need too much assistance, we really need to refer them to public transit. So it's been a good way for us to kind of screen those clients a little bit. We do ask that they give us 48 hours notice. Business hours. So, we're not there on the weekends. So we're basically Monday through Friday. Appointments that are 8 to 4, 8 to 4:30. They do have to be, obviously, a Story County resident. And so they call in. And then we have a really good platform that we use called Assisted Rides. And so this platform allows us to track or to enter all the trip data, all the client data, all the volunteer data, and then it's live. So it's a cloud road program. So from any one of our office locations or from my home, I can go in and see what rides are scheduled. And that way we can kind of, especially as we're starting to get closer to winter, we need to monitor weather conditions. We can look and see, okay, what trips are available. When we first started, we were using an Excel spreadsheet and just sharing it back and forth. And so this has worked out really well. So we have that platform. The other good thing about that is that several of our drivers have elected to be trained, and they have their own password, and they can see a portion of that program. They can go in and self-schedule. So a lot of them do that. So that works out great for us because that's less time that we have to spend. Depending on how much time they give us a week. Within a few days, within a couple days, we're on the phone. If a volunteer hasn't self-scheduled, we're on the phone and making calls to get those trips filled. And I would say we're probably filling 99% of the trips. Medical trips are a priority, so we do other trips. They have to go to the grocery store, the bank. If we only have one volunteer available and there's a medical trip or a grocery store trip, then the medical trip will trump that. And then if they're interested either in finding out whether our services are available to them as a client or if they're interested in volunteering, they could call either one of our offices in Story County, Ames office, 292-8890, or in Story City, and that's 733-4917.
Thank you. Marty, did you have a question?
Fascinating. I'm aware of the organization here because they come into Nevada schools on a partnership, and I know a portion of what you do, and it's just fascinating to sit here. While you were talking, I'm sitting here reading, and I did not realize you were such an expansive organization.
And, we have been around in Story County since 1973, and I think sometimes that surprises a lot of people, but RSVP is actually a national service program, and there are about 700 projects across the country. And in the state of Iowa, we have 19 RSVP projects. Most are multi-county. It's the most cost-effective way is if you have one core office location. Of course, our main office is here where we started. We also cover Marshall County and then Hamilton and Webster as well. And on the back, too, you might look and see under final thoughts, the total number of RSVP volunteers that were mobilized were 1,027. That is in the four-county area. Here in Story County, it's right around 600, so well over half of that pool of volunteers is here in Story County. And it shows you the hours served, and then the monetary value is based on the independent sector for the state of Iowa's value of an hour of volunteer service. And then it talks about our funding sources. Of course, the only criteria we have for our volunteers is that they have to be 55 or older. And other than that, that's the only requirement.
Well, I say it every time you come, we are so lucky to have RSVP and really proud that the Board of Supervisors can play a small part in making sure that RSVP is a vital organization going forward. Thank you for everything you and your volunteers do.
Thank you very much. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you.
Marty, tell me if you have any questions after you look through all this.
Here's my takeaway. You asked.
Okay.
You know, when you talk to these organizations, great and small, where the county has an effect on them or any organization, be it school or city, what would be the one thing that your organization would like to have if you had a wish list? I mean, I've been asking in a forum, if you had one wish, Wayne, you can appreciate this, if you had one wish to grant, what would it be? What would be your organization's wish? What would you like to see the communities that we call Story County do for your organization to make you succeed?
Well, I'd love to see those numbers all the way around be more. The volunteer numbers, obviously, we're always out there recruiting, and that's constantly something that we're doing. I really do feel pretty fortunate in that when we've lost a couple staff that were longtime staff this past year, and we've been able to get new staff on board that have just been exceptional. So I feel very blessed that we have a really good, committed staff. The volunteers that we have are just outstanding. Obviously, every year you look at your budget and you think, you just make it work. You figure out how to make it work. And it does get stressful sometimes. But, I think it would be silly of me to say, well, yes, if we had more money, we could do more things. But obviously more volunteers. I'd like to see our transportation program be further developed, because I think that there are people out there that have needs that maybe aren't aware of it yet, even though we've been around since 2010. So I think that's something I would like to see grow. And then I think also our disaster program, I think I would like to see what we did here in Story County working with the Sheriff's Office and DCI. I think it'd be great to be able to see that duplicated in other parts of the state. And I know that's not a county thing here, but I think that would be a pretty cool thing to be able to say, hey, the Sheriff's Office here and RSVP started that, so...
Yeah, and so important to remember, specifically for transportation, how that dovetails so nicely with our C2C plan and transportation components therein. We need to keep RSVP in mind and the possibility of growing that program more to help alleviate some of those needs. Thank you.
I think we could have 300 clients very easily if, if we were out there. And then there's staff time that goes into that and resources to develop that program, too. But I would say that would probably be, of the three main services, the one that I can see growing the most.
Yeah, so for a guy like me, I look at return on investment. And when you think about that, we're basically getting volunteer hours to the equivalency of 26 full-time people for the amount we're putting in, it is such a wise investment that we're making in this program. And thank you for your leadership.
You bet. That's got a bang for the buck, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. All right. Let's see. We're holding minutes till next week. So consideration of personnel actions as listed for it.
Move approval as submitted.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Clinton.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Personnel actions pass consent agenda. Board, please add road closure 1724 and utility permit 17037.
Who has presented?
Second.
Motion and a second. Chief.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda passes. No public hearing items today. Additional items. Receive and open bids for Hebrew Grove Park shower building / storm shelter. Mike, how are you doing?
Mike.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Oh,
good morning.
Listen, would you come help him open? Sometimes it's a two-person job we move.
So you said keep them in this order. And the base order. Is that right? I think everyone should have a bid form.
Mm-hmm.
They will not be opened necessarily in the order that's on the bid form. Okay, the first one is from Hay Construction Services.
Okay.
Mike, can you tell us where they're located as you tell us who it is?
This one is Marshalltown.
Okay.
I believe it's the fourth one over on your bid sheet.
Mm-hmm.
The base bid amount is $736,700 even.
Okay. So I assume when you're going through each of these, like the bond and all of that, that information is there. So you're not necessarily reporting that out, right?
Correct.
Okay. If it wasn't there, you would
be. Alternate number one is $18,900 even.
Okay.
Next one is Jensen Builders, located in Des Moines. Okay, the Jensen Builders. Base bid is $535,550 even.
Okay.
$835,550. And the alternate number one is $24,800 even. Okay. The next one is from HPC LLC.
Harold Pike. That's Harold Pike.
Base bid on this one is $780,000 even. $780,000 Okay. Alternate number one bid on this one is $28,000 even.
Okay.
This next one is for Pro Commercial LLC.
Where are they?
About Huxley. Their base bid amount is $794,988. $794,988. And no stats. Alternate number one bid is $21,375. $21,375. Next bid is from Bouchon Construction out of Montezuma. Base bid is $820,000 even. Alternate number one bid is $33,200 even. $33,200 even. Next bid is from Woodruff. out of Ames Street. Base bid amount is $712,400. 712,400. And alternate number one bid is $19,100. 19100. And the last one is from Rotan Corporation.
Did we already do Rotan?
I thought we did Rotan.
No, we haven't.
What was the name of that? I didn't see it.
Bishop Montezuma.
That's
Bushan.
Bushan,
okay.
Bushan. Oh, okay. I apologize. We'll change that then. I was of that same impression.
Yeah, me too.
Where are they located?
Urbandale.
Okay. And this is
the base bid for Roshan is $797,000 even. 797,000. And the alternate number one bid is $22,000 even. 22000. Okay. And that completes.
Super. Steps from here and timeline.
Okay.
We'll review bid package for completeness. All had required items here, bid bond, all acknowledged addendums and provided bid amounts. So we'll review that, get a recommendation from our engineer. I will bring that recommendation forward to the Conservation Board at their meeting next Monday, and then following up with a recommendation to consider award for this board next Tuesday.
Okay. Super. Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next item is consideration of resolution 1736, commitment of fund balance. Mike Cox. Thank you, everybody, for being here.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, Mike, we got a check for $1.6 million from Energy Transfer Partners. And it's based on environmental mitigation to some of the impacts that the pipeline coming through Sword County has, specifically on our Heart of Iowa Nature Trail. And we wanted to start to determine what kind of places those funds could go. This board asked the Conservation Board to weigh in and think about what would make sense. And you came back with Resolution 1736, so take it away.
Well, good. Thank you. With the receipt of that fund, those funds, with knowing the impacts of that project and the I guess some of the needs that the Conservation Board sees that we have moving forward, Conservation Board did pass the resolution that you see in front of you and ask that you support this resolution, that you pass this resolution, which really identifies a few things if you've done toward the bottom under the committed section. One, it says that projects must be approved by the Story County Conservation Board and be consistent with the following. Following two bullets there. One, that not supplant other previously identified funding sources. And two, that funding will serve to improve one or more of the following. Water quality, recreational amenities, and land and water resources. So, I think that, that's all pretty self-explanatory. I think that, you know, the genesis of this, these funds were... we requested the pipeline to bore under a couple of creeks and waterways, and they were unable to do so and provided this funding. So we think that there's a tie to water quality, and we'd like to recognize that tie and potential uses of this funding. And also, with the project going under the Heart of Iowa Trail, recognize the trail impacts and recreational, if you will, recreational amenities. There was a little bit of discussion at the board about what recreational amenities means. I think the intent is that it does not mean playgrounds or picnic shelters, that kinds of things. It's more designed to reference trails, but the I guess in the end the aspect of this resolution that says that the project will be approved by the Conservation Board addresses that and addresses their intent on how that's used. So in the end, the board is very very supportive of putting this money toward unmet needs, recreational and again our resource, land and water quality, etc., in the county, and that it not be used for projects that that we've already got funding sources for. Mm-hmm. Or already previously identified funding.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, for me, this just puts a period on the end of this conversation between the Board of Supervisors and Energy Transfer Partners involving conservation. But it's this board that came to this arrangement with Energy Transfer Partners, and I believe that this board had a very specific intent, and that was to do exactly what you're saying, make sure that this funding went toward conservation practices, some specific subcategory within conservation practices, to be determined by the Conservation Board and not intended to supplant existing funding, but intended to do for us to be able to do more than we wanted to be able to do. And to me, if this resolution passes, this is just this board kind of putting a period at the end of that sentence and saying, this is what the intent is, and we move forward. Questions for Mike?
I think if it's this board or a different board in 2017, it would be wise to take the advice offered up by the Conservation Board. And I don't disagree. One of the true joys about being here the short time that I have has been this. And while we see the pipeline coming to a conclusion, we know that we have a brighter future because it actually did come through because of this. My question to you, Mike, is that we did on an open trenching through these two streams. And we did not want that to be, you know, you spoke rather eloquently both in private conversation and in the meetings that, you know, you were at. I mean, on a subsequent basis, I mean, have you had any follow-up observations of these two streams to give you comfort, the fact that they were done or they've, I mean, I'd like to know the status of them today in your eyes, in your opinion.
Sure, sure. And that's a good question. I did have some follow-up visits, and the pipeline company made some, I guess made some, what's the word I'm looking for, but they consented to do a couple alterations in their design to minimize the impact on streams. Mm-hmm. One was to lessen the width of their footprint across the stream in the riparian area.
down to, if I'm remembering correctly, 85 feet, as opposed to their normal width of 150 maybe. I don't quote me on that number. But anyway, make a reduction in the swath, if you will, of their footprint. And they did do that. They made a commitment to replace material in stream banks as it, replace it going back in as it came out. So in other words, surface stream bed material goes on top, and what they drag out of the bottom of the trench goes back on the bottom, and they did do that. And so those are the things that, those are the observations we know that they did. And so, to the best of our ability, we know that they lived up to their intent and to their to what they said they would do in crossing those streams. As it relates to crossing the trail, they honored the agreement there as well, and really had minimal impacts to that trail as they bored under the trail and then also matted the equipment as it crossed crossed the trail and so we don't have any concerns that they did not meet the obligations that they set forth.
Very good.
Yeah, a couple of points on this as kind of we start to close out this portion of our relationship with the Dakota Access Pipeline, and that is the two streams in question both wholly existed on private property. It wasn't public property that we're talking about. So the impact that the Board of Supervisors could have from a legal perspective was limited. They did meet all their obligations to us in crossing the Heart of Iowa Nature Trail. And anecdotally, we had several staff members who were, and I think, Mike, you were there for one of these, that were informed that Story County was the most stringent in terms of required, of any of the counties they dealt with, the most stringent in requiring that they live up to their obligations. So I believe, and I believe all the way through, that this board did exactly what it was supposed to do in protecting Story County, in negotiating the best outcome possible for Story County, and then holding the pipeline company responsible to live up to those obligations. And again, I think this is the period at the end of the sentence on that. What do you think, Ed?
You know what? You took everything I was going to say, sir.
I felt like you were going to say that. Oh, you got something else, I'm sure.
Other than to say that it was a outstanding discussion at the Conservation Board when the resolution was discussed. Some great questions were asked, and I really can't say enough about Mike's leadership as well as the Conservation Board throughout this process. This is just another example of them really taking seriously the environmental concerns, the future use of the trail, and other water quality initiatives, and the overall impact to living up to the mission of what Story County Conservation is all about. So I was very pleased with the efforts of the Conservation Board, and particularly the leadership Mike has shown in this, and I feel we're very fortunate in Story County to have such a body that is trying to make sure that not only current generation but future generations will have quality of life amenities that will benefit us from future generations in years to come.
That's
so,
okay.
Thank
That's
you.
Good. Yeah. Okay. Wayne, you talked long enough that I thought of one more thing I want to say about this. I know both of you guys got asked a question, so it seems like the Ames Crib had good questions for all the candidates for supervisor, and one of the questions that they asked you guys that you both responded to was, do you feel like the Board of Supervisors did the right thing in not supporting a resolution against the Bakken Oil Pipeline? The fact that it seems to be left out every time we talk about this is we actually considered two resolutions that day. We had a resolution presented by ICCI opposing the pipeline, and we also had a resolution presented by ABI in support of the pipeline, and we took action on neither because we didn't feel like that was the Board of Supervisors' place to weigh in on deals that were already made by private property citizens. We felt like our responsibility was to do the best we could for Story County, and I think that got missed in this entire conversation this fall. And so I want it on the record.
Great.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We got to take action here if we're going to take action.
I will move Resolution 1736. I
would second that gladly.
Motion and a second. Any further conversation?
I believe Story County is well served by a robust and well-led Conservation Board. It has been a pleasure to learn more about what actually transpires in our behalf, and I look forward to the coming months and years what they do with $1.6 million.
Yeah, we've got to have one of the best Conservation Boards in the state. Clint?
Aye.
Chief?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Resolution 1736 passes. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Michael.
Next item is consideration of the cornerstone to capstone, otherwise known as the CQC Comprehensive Plan Implementation Matrix, Gary and Mike. Because we don't have Leanne today because she is serving as an election worker. We're bringing up the AAA.
It takes two of us to make up for one Leanne.
Right.
Is that light on, Mike?
On the speaker there.
On that speaker, she went up.
Both of them are on.
Okay.
We're good.
You go, Sean.
Okay, it feels good to be at this juncture. We went through the comprehensive planning process, C2C. It was about a year and a half long process. Involved a lot of great input from the citizens, from staff at the county, great input from the boards and commissions. And so we're here today with a document called C2C Implementation Matrix that addresses everything that we need to think about and do to implement that great plan that we have. So the plan was adopted by the Board of Supervisors June 7 of this year, so it's already been 4 months. The Planning and Zoning Commission did recommend approval of this implementation matrix on November 2 at their meeting. The Story County Conservation Board approved the implementation matrix October 10 at their meeting. So the purpose, or the first steps, is to establish a solid implementation process. The implementation matrix prioritizes how we move our vision forward. It gives us our to-do list, it tracks our progress, reports our results, and provides opportunities to grow with the vision that we have. We provide a list of acronyms for persons who are reviewing this document that may not be familiar with the terminology that we're using. Organization-wise, it identifies action items, key tasks, time frames, responsible departments. Some of the tasks have multiple departments, so we're going to be working together. Planning and Development is going to be working with Story County Conservation on several things. We're going to be working with the Engineering Department. And so there's a lot of cross-input on some of these activities. And it also addresses budgetary implications. Time frames, some of these things are going to be short-term or they're considered immediate time frames, 0 to 2 years. I know with planning and development items, probably three-quarters of those things are intermediate action things. There's a medium time frame of 3 to 5 years. There's a long-term time frame is 6 to 10 years, and then there's things that we're going to do annually or on an ongoing basis. First chapter, living guide. Many of those items are under the Board of the Supervisors' purview. I'm not going to go through every one. Leanne did an awesome job when the Planning and Zoning Commission met with the Board of Supervisors. But just to pull out a few of these, develop and adopt a C2C amendment process. Leanne started an ordinance on that, worked closely with our department. We have a conceptual review meeting that we're going to do this Thursday with the departments and solicit input from them. It's also being reviewed by the county attorney's office. Provide semi-annual updates on C2C at quadrant meetings is one thing that's identified. Foundation, it's kind of the subject or activity areas that are identified in the comp plan. Again, we pulled some of those things. One is complete a comprehensive review and update of the land evaluation and site assessment. We have a really good, solid system, but we think we can make it better, and so we're going to be tackling that. Develop a density-based zoning program. This will be a new ordinance that will be adopted to give some more flexibility in some of the subdivision regulations that we're going to be preparing. Continuation with foundation, draft healthy homes, design guidelines. These are things that might help homeowners to make their homes more energy efficient, like window treatments, insulation, things of that nature. Conducting annual meetings with school districts as identified. Again, several of these are Board of Supervisors, activity items. Some of these are planning and development, environmental health. Audit regulations to determine whether we have smart development practices. This is planning and development and emergency management activity. We're going to be working on language to maybe help provide guidance on, you know, staying away from floodplains, better erosion control practices, landscaping on perimeters of developments. Parking standards, right now we have a maximum standard. We may be looking at doing minimum requirements and then maybe providing some benefits for maybe sharing parking so that you can share needed space. Resources and recreation, I'll turn that over to Mike.
So one thing I'll mention, you're all very familiar with the whole document here, and the implementation matrix does not attempt to pull out all of the action steps that are identified in the C2C. The action steps that were already engaged in aren't specifically referenced in the implementation matrix. So this identifies those things that that we haven't begun yet. And just to give you an example, we've got one of them in the natural resource and recreation chapters, develop a water quality outreach and education tool. And we say we're going to do that in concert with the Board of Supervisors, so we'll be working with Leanne to do that. Time frame we say is immediate, and so we'll start right away. And then it's got a budget figure over there of $7,000. So I think it's safe to say that where you see budget figures in the implementation matrix, that represents a number that I believe the board will be presented with if it's under an immediate time frame moving forward in the FY18 budget. One thing that I'll add just in general as it relates to the resource and recreation component, the Conservation Board was very engaged in the process from start to finish. And was very engaged in the development of the implementation matrix. And so with that, I think that the Conservation Board is very very happy with what's represented here and very appreciative of the other county departments, planning and development, and Leanne and all the other county departments that work together to bring this forward, and appreciative of the Board of Supervisors for recognizing that role of resources and recreation in a comprehensive plan, which is not the norm when it comes to developing the countywide plans. So, so you'll see that there's just a few items identified here under resource and recreation. Many of the things that are identified in the plan we're already working on. So some of these that are identified here, just to name a couple more, inventory-sensitive natural areas, we have begun that. We haven't finished it. We started some budgetary allocations for that. We haven't finished it. Review floodplain regulations. Again, we have not. That's working with Leanne on that one, and that hasn't begun.
promote, encourage pollinator plots and buffer strips. That's another one. That's not an immediate time frame. That one takes a little bit more time and planning and work with all the agencies that are doing, efforts analogous to that. So that's just Cliff Notes version of the resource component of the implementation matrix.
Land use. We have a great comprehensive plan, great land use section. We also have a lot of good items to implement from that land use section. Highlighted a couple of them. Established minimum levels of service. These are things that we're going to be looking at. We're going to be working with communities within close proximity to the urban expansion areas, trying to figure out what those subdivisions should look like. We're talking about new developments. Should these primarily fall under the purview of the city's standards? Should they include sidewalks, street lighting? What should they look like? So that's going to be something that we're going to be heavily involved in. Establishing location guidelines for proposed subdivisions. Again, in our urban expansion areas, we've got the task of trying to figure out within there and the rural residential areas where the next residential subdivision should be located. Economic prosperity, consider development of solar farm regulations. Land started work on that, worked with our department. That's another ordinance that's in draft form. It's going to conceptual review this week to get input from other county departments. Conduct annual available lands analysis. Again, that's under the Board of Supervisors' purview on an annual basis. Transportation, there's a few items there. One that involves planning and development and engineering is to look at the applicability of transportation impact analysis. So when we're adding subdivisions in certain areas, what's the condition of the road? What's the surface type? Should changes be made to the surface? Should changes be made to intersections? Turning lanes added? What are the costs? Who should participate in the cost? So that's going to be another thing that's going to keep us pretty busy. And then now we're into action steps. We did approve the C2C comprehensive plan in June, or the Board of Supervisors did. This is the implementation matrix. We're asking for your support and approval, which will help segue into capital improvements planning that we do, and then budgeting in March. So with that, I'd be happy to...
So thank you, guys. This has been a phenomenal process that is really longer. You said 18 months, 2 years. It's really 6 years that we've been working on this, and we put building blocks in place, right? The CPAP report, the Government Restructuring Committee, the first strategic plan. We built on this thing all the way through. I think it was an outstanding, inclusive process in developing the C2C plan. I was really excited when we adopted that. I think early in your tenure, we finally adopted the C2C plan, and it gives us a great roadmap for the future. This, however, is where the rubber starts to meet the road. If this passes, as it is passed planning and zoning and conservation, if this passes the Board of Supervisors, this is really the report card that we lay out in front of the citizens of Story County, and we say, okay, now, this plan, this process was great. But now, is it going to sit on a shelf and gather dust, which a lot of plans do, or are we actually going to go through and start to put into practice some of the things that we collectively have said are important to us? And following along with this plan, if we say immediate, that means it's going to happen 0 to 2 years. If it's not happening, then this thing is figuratively sitting on a shelf collecting dust. And so, to me, this is where we have an opportunity to say, okay, we really, really mean it. We've gone through all this work. We've spent 6 years developing this. Now, are we really going to use it, or was it just a good exercise?
Well, let me just chime in to say, to me, this is, again, one of those really exciting things that oftentimes the general public is not aware of the process of government and how entities come together. The whole concept of strategic planning that I'm so proud of, that the board initiated a few years ago, was visionary. We've always talked about strategic planning. We annually hold strategic planning and so forth sessions, but the actual implementation of those plans is sometimes forgotten. It's never incorporated so that you have a time frame and you've identified departments by us being able to work with different departments and empowering them and saying, you know, we look to you to move this agenda forward, to work collaboratively with other partners within the department. To me, that's an exciting way to govern. That's an exciting way to get buy-in from so many different entities. And let's not forget the buy-in from the public initially in the early phase of this plan. This was a community effort. And so the citizens that volunteered to be part of this early planning, you know, are now in a position, as Supervisor Sanders just said, that we have a blueprint for how we move this plan forward over the next several years. And to me, that is truly a great accomplishment, something that oftentimes we have those feel-good moments by sitting down and saying we're planning for the future, but then all of a sudden something happens and we don't get there. So, you know, I see this as just another example of how Story County, in my opinion, thinks outside of the box for the betterment of future generations. And I can't thank all the departments that have already passed this to this point. And it's really going to be up to the Board of Supervisors working with the various departments to see to it that this doesn't sit on the shelf, that it moves through. And if for some reason we need to tweak some things, when we get through it, we'll see that there'll need to be some adjustments. But we've got a model that's laid before us that has been fully vetted. And sometimes that's the biggest flaw is, you know, people accuse you sometimes of not clearly thinking through where you are and where you hope to go. Well, we've done it. And it's right there. So, to me, this is exciting, and I'm happy to have been a part of the early stages. And this is again one of those things that I hope I can continue to be part of the future development.
Mm-hmm. I came on the board on June 7th, the day that we passed this. It was my first substantive vote. I will tell you that is something I have speak with great deal of pride, and it usually leads me into trying to explain to the best of my ability. So I have been fortunate in my time here to be part of that story. I have 2 years ago, I was a contributor on a school board when Leanne was bringing this out of the ground. Now I sit up here and I'm a very fortunate person to be an implementer, and I look forward to doing that. I think Wayne spoke pretty eloquently to the fact this has gone from a micro level as we moved it through the county back to the fact that we've now made it a comprehensive document. Is it done? Certainly not. Rick pointed out the fact that it's bad on us as a county, not just Board of Supervisors, that we don't move to use it, refresh it, and implement it as we see things change. And I would like to think that we are wiser than that. Mike, you had said something here earlier, and I didn't get it all written down, but you said something to the effect that this is not the norm in regards to something you were presenting with, because on a board basis, do you recall what you were speaking about?
Yeah, and just that the breadth with which this document and the implementation plan addresses the county's natural resources, is unique among all other counties as far as I'm aware. And I've reached out to several of my counterparts in other counties, and other counties don't have documents like this that address those components. So in their comp plans, I believe, one of the smart planning elements, but isn't given the level of attention that we did through here. So
okay.
Does that answer your question?
That gives me,
this is a comprehensive plan that is truly comprehensive. I think, you know, we looked at every nook and cranny to try to make sure that we're addressing what's going on. And the reality is, it is completely fair for the Board of Supervisors, whatever the makeup is, the Board of Supervisors to be judged based on how we go forward and implement and practice the plan that so many people have worked so hard to put together.
Mm-hmm. So what
anything further?
I have no questions. I appreciate it.
All right, so then we're to consideration of the implementation matrix.
So moved.
I would second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Yes. Just again to thank everyone that was associated with this.
Absolutely. Well, they're the representatives today, but a lot of people worked really, really hard. I was so impressed with the buy-in that we got. So many times these things happen in silos, and this one seemed to happen really broad-based perspective, and I think we got a lot of different viewpoints represented in there. Clinton?
Aye.
Cheney?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Implementation matrix passes. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
All right, now the main event. Departmental reports, IRBM, Joe Quaker. Joe, wake up.
Good, I'm listening. I'm on it.
Looking forward to hear what you brought us again today.
Watch most of the crowd. I'm going to go out and look. Make sure they're not there.
No. It's on the trip now to get it out.
You're one of the three things you missed from today's Board of Supervisors.
We have a fourth, Austin.
That's right.
I didn't put a heading on this because I ran into the office real quick to print it out. These are the year-end numbers. There's some blanks in there. Not quite 100% done, but let's just say we've been keeping track since the beginning of IRVM.
That's great. All right. So we can pick up your comments on that.
Okay. You've got to record this for all posterity, Joe.
I get it. Joe Quaker, Story County Conservation Roadside Manager. Vegetation Management Biologist. So what I handed the board today, and thanks for having me here. It's been about, we were here late August. Handed out was just a printout that we put together every year of our year-end numbers and the averages. And there are some holes in there. I need to kind of tweak this thing a little bit and get rid of some things we don't do. But I'll get back to this in a minute. Supervisor Chudy asked Director Cox for the conservation about it wasn't the norm. And one thing I'd like to add was... We're doing a natural resource inventory, which I think will tie into the C2C to some degree. And we're trying to put this together and go out to all the people that are trying to develop this inventory process. And, well, we're kind of like starting it. It's not reinventing the wheel. There's no wheel. So it is outside the box thinking, and I appreciate the board for doing that. So I can kind of say that, Mike. Back to IRVM, Integrated Roadside Vegetation Management. Like usual, I'm going to start at the end and then go backwards. So today, I was out at the Old County Home, which we call Veg Base, loading up the hydro seeder, kind of a morning ritual. And we had some new product called Bonded Fiber Matrix. It's the mulch we use that you see in the big stacks out there. But it's a little different. It has more holding capacity to protect our soil and get the seed to germinate. And since if you've been driving around, and Darren may have, the engineer, Story County engineer, may have alluded to the fact that the Shipley Bridge is done, that road is open, and there's some highly erodible banks on that when they reshaped Grant Creek there. And so we're seeding that as we speak, although Tyler said it's a little windy on the north side, so I think they're just spraying the south side today to get a season. We have about another 20 work orders, open work orders on planting to do, and the county's still digging. It's obviously been good weather. As I stepped out this morning at about 5:45, it was dark, but I did hear some geese going over, and so I'm assuming we're going to get some weather sooner or later. But we're enjoying it now.
We're enjoying it now.
Going backwards, the brush, I know you guys are going to be interested in the brush spraying that we did.
Mm-hmm.
We had some contracts on the board agenda back in August. Those folks wrapped up within the time frame, the first couple weeks in September, which is perfect. We were able to put a little more money in and get them to do a few more roads. One would have been George Washington Carver. That is a wide right-of-way, a little tougher to get to, and a lot of brush on that. So that helped out, and again, this brush is below 10 feet tall.
within the right of way that they spray. And we also got Lafayette Township. So I'm letting the board know that between the in-house, the Story County Roadside Department, and the contractors, we did all four tiers of the county in the south and moved up to get Lafayette Township and a couple other roads. So we're back on track. It makes me feel good, and I think we're just going to keep going south across the county and keep that up. With the spraying, then, this plant here is called Bush Honeysuckle. It has a little red berries that the kids want to eat. You don't tell them to eat it, you know, but they, right now a lot of them have red berries. This one didn't. I retrieved this out of the Hertz Woods on South 11th Street, where the CCI crew is working today to do some hand harvest on other good seed. But this one, shade tolerant, was planted, was recommended by the USDA as a good ground cover back in the 50s and the 60s, along with another plant called multifloral rose. Okay, so the former director of Story County Conservation, Steve Legba, planted this stuff. So I cut a bunch of it the other day and threw it in his yard. No, I just stopped by to talk to him. But anyway, he had told me long ago that, you know, that was a plant. And so anyway, this one is shade tolerant. So it grows in the understory of our good timbers. And we have a lot of high-quality savannas in Story County that we manage. And this is one of our number one invasive species that we budget for and spend a lot of time and money to get rid of. And we're making headway. And hopefully with this good weather, we can do a little fall burning. This is a great fall for that. And I did see some smoke at Hickory Grove yesterday. So makes me happy when I see that. And we're hoping to get some roadside burning done, too. The other plant is one that I think my mom might have helped start. This is ornamental bittersweet, the vine. Okay? So a lot of people back in the day would buy this and make wreaths out of them, Christmas wreaths. Has the red berries. Well, these are orange. The ornamental, there is a native bittersweet called American bittersweet. It has, it's more of a red berry, red-orange. The invasive one is yellow. And I don't want to go into that, but the berries on the invasive one are at the end. The other way around. On the native one are on the end, and then the invasive berries on the vine. Around the vine of the invasive plant. So, as you can see, this is out of Christensen Wildlife Area. We have a lot of neat oak trees there, and this vine will just start growing up out of the soil and choke off the tree. What will happen is oaks are, you know, the big bur oak, the state tree, can take a lot of abuse. But when you get all this poundage on the tree, it starts to topple the tops off and choke it out. This one's a hard one to control because you can't really go up and spray the oak tree.
Right.
You got to cut off these vines and apply a basal herbicide to that. So it's time consuming, but we're on that too. So I just thought I'd be a little show and tell. I know you guys are just.
I like show and tell. Absolutely.
Any questions on these things?
No. You do a good job.
I'm curious as to how many other areas have that.
Well, I know that there was a farmer, landowner, operator north of Hickory Grove that said. There's this weird vine growing in the ditch just north of Hickory Grove, and sure enough, it's ornamental bittersweet. So it's everywhere, I think, if you look hard enough. I don't know if it's at Robinson Acres or not, but, yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. So it's around. Honeysuckle's everywhere.
Yo, you just mentioned that it was only a couple of years ago.
Right. So Amy Yoakum actually found this ornamental bittersweet a couple years ago. But it's been here for a while. We just had to open our eyes a little bit. And it's just not Story County, it's statewide.
Right.
A lot of these plants just took off. And once they get a stronghold, it's hard to get after them.
Huh.
So we talked about spraying. Next, going backwards, was the harvest. Supervisor Chitty may have been out at the county home to see all those combines laying out there.
I check on you.
I'll tip the one back up. I just took the loader and tipped it over to get the part off the bottom. I'm getting too old to crawl underneath it. But so harvest went fairly well. Thanks with the help from the Story County Conservation, Mike's staff and the roadside staff. We hit it hard. The numbers aren't in, but it went fairly well. We could have had an earlier frost. It would have helped me out. But and again, that seed goes into our wildlife areas. We have some more to do at Jeanette. We have some more to do at Jordan Acres. And there's this one place called the Iowa State Research Park. I don't know if you've heard about that one.
Haven't heard anything about it, Joe.
But there could be some seed going in there. So this isn't all the seed for those areas. It just helps supplement the budget quite a bit to get that seed on the ground. And again, it's native. It's seed that you really can't buy anywhere else. Hand harvest is still going on. So we do have some hand harvest seed collecting still in progress. In between that, Mike's came down to the office the last 2 weeks. We're getting budget done, staff reports, looking at some possible Living Roadway Trust Fund grants coming up, which you'll hear about more later. I will advise the board that we did put in for a request, because it was due on last Friday, on what we call the ICT. I'm not quite sure what the acronym stands for, Interstate Transportation Act Enhancement Seed, I think, for 30 acres, which that would be a grant, and, you know, it saved us quite a bit of money at $500 an acre to get that grant come through. So that is seed that we use in the roadsides to supplement what we harvest. All right, so the year-end numbers. Just quickly, I don't want to bore everybody, but you start looking at some of these things, and I always hit roadside plantings, and again, acres at 39 averages 41. It's the sites. You know, Darren's crew's out there fixing the culverts and the intakes and the drainage from the rain. You know, you add a 200% more. If the average was 51, we did 70, 68. There's a little bit more driving with that hydro seeder, so a little more driving around hitting the areas, but the acres stay the same. If you cruise around, you can just keep going through for your own good and look at some things. We didn't do a lot of burning, and I think I've alluded to that fact in the past. That was one thing we used to do a little more of, and we're going to try to amp that up a little bit, do some more roadside burning.
Very good.
The miles sprayed for weeds, average 261, we're down a little bit, and it showed. I mean, we had a little more pressure, we had a little better weather for weeds. This fall, you know, I haven't looked at the long-range forecast, but we'll address that come next weed season. And the brush sprayed does not incorporate the contractors, okay? That's just in-house.
Okay.
The big thing is equipment rentals. Wow, we did 1,100 acres with that equipment. And looking at some of the things I saw on the PowerPoint earlier about filter strips and protecting Story County's soil, clean air, and water, it's just a huge program. I need to thank the board, right up, you know, honestly, for supporting that and renting our equipment out that other, you know, no one else has this equipment. We're not competing. It's the landowners know that we have these special no-till drills, and my phone's a hotline for that at the time being, and we are geared up to do about another 300 to 400 acres this fall. Now we work with, you know, the NRCS and the FSA to do this. We thought there was going to be a cap on CRP, which was lifted. They reorganized, restructured a little bit, so the continuous CRP, like filter strips and buffer strips, are still ongoing, which is great, because that means what I've always whined a little bit about is getting access and getting, you know, to our drainage districts, but more than that, buffering those things as they need to be, in my opinion. I did not know that when I printed this off, you can see the drainage district maintenance revenue received. But the next line would have been what we build out. And we're holding in there. 18,000 for 2016 fiscal. We're doing what we can.
Well, we're doing more than we were. Right?
Oh, yeah. We're working it in. And we're going to switch gears soon. We need to get some planting done and a little burning. And work into the brush program in between that. We're hoping in the next couple weeks start start back up and start logging rant number 5. Is that right, Mike? Yes. Rant 5, which is over by Shipley. That's about it, I guess. The only thing I threw on here that I just wanted to touch with Wayne again, I'm on track to do the ISAC training in December.
Yeah. We're really honored. You know, I'm fortunate to be on the ISAC Supervisors Exec Board, and we plan sessions for county supervisors of the 99 counties. And one of the topics came up about one of the counties being challenged with their weed control and herbicides and different types of things, and felt that with a lot of the new supervisors coming on board within the last 2 years, we needed to have someone come in. And obviously Joe was one of the people that I opened my mouth and said, you know, I think I can talk Joe into coming. And then one of the other members said they also had a weed commissioner. And so we wanted to get a combination of a very small county and then one of a large and mid-size. And so we're really excited, Joe, that you're going to be there to share your expertise with county supervisors and so forth. So looking forward to it. I'm going to be very proud to be able to introduce you.
Well, good deal, yeah. And I looked at the ballot this morning. I didn't see meat commissioner as elected official.
I hear you voted, Joe.
But it's all good.
Right. Joe, just so you, before you go,
yes.
You were talking about the people leaving. There is a fine young lady sitting right there in front of Alyssa. That happened to be my daughter.
Oh, very nice.
And you know, she came up from St. Louis. You know, there is a special day today that she wanted to be here. So Mike Cox is our conservation director, Danielle, and Joe, our roadside vegetation. And then, of course, Drew Camp back there with our economic development program and some of the special projects that we do. So
don't feel good.
Awesome with me.
Joe, thanks.
She works for St. Louis County Government.
Okay. All right. One more. Yes.
Two things. Congratulations on all the volunteer hours this year. What happened there? You really jumped in.
Seed harvests. And we had more people show up. You know, I don't have any group out there, I think. But, I mean, they like to come.
All about Tyler.
They've heard about you, I guess.
And harvest seed. The other thing is we do Wakefield Woods.
Right.
Is a roadside park. And so this plant, the honeysuckle, and the ornamental bittersweet are both in there, and we have some 4-H'ers come. And so when you have 25 to 30 4-H young people out there helping you, that does stack the hours up. And I like working with volunteers. I have a lot of fun with those guys.
Burning is near and dear to my heart, Joe. You know that. As the farmers wind it down this year, I mean, on a contact basis, as far as scheduling for 2017, is it something that, you know, you get asked a lot of things being a supervisor, and that's not the least of the discussions, but is this something on a planning basis that you would want them to reach out to you now as far as what you could be doing in the spring, or how do you want to do that?
My phone is on my hip almost 24/7, and I would rather have them call me the question or a comment or concern. Mm-hmm. I work it into the schedule. I have my own schedules on prescribed fire.
Yeah, I get that. I'm just saying, it's just like if these people were so inclined that this is something we'd like to do, because on the sidebar, wouldn't dish burning help to offset some of the spraying that we do?
If it's done in a timely fashion. Okay. If you make it go the other way.
Well, that's I'm looking for a little direction there.
Right.
You know, as the layman here, I think the burning would help us.
Correct. So prescribed fire can help things or can set you back.
Okay.
And so any question on roadside, if we're going to talk about fire in general, if they were to ask the board, a supervisors or any employee, we can't just tell them to go burn in the right way. It's an easement that has to come through me.
Right.
Or you guys and me, and we help them go through that. We'll put them on the list and do what we can.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Good.
Thank you,
Joe.
You're welcome.
No other reports today. Public forum number 2, opportunity for members of the public to address topics not on today's agenda. Not going to take any action. Anybody wishing to address us may do so. Seeing no one moving the microphone, liaison assignments, committee meeting updates, Wayne.
Pass. This is one of those weeks.
How about that, Marty?
We have had some discussion within the community about the Story County Rec conversation going, that it might be moving in ways that are not entirely public. Right now, there's nothing in other than in the discussion phase. No decisions have been rendered up other than there's a suspicion that it might land by the Story County Hospital.
Absolutely, and that's being led by Nevada, working with Story County Hospital, we appreciate any input that we get to have on that. Nothing, announcements, Wayne? Party.
Probably some of you don't get the spokesman if you're not Farm Bureau members, but I just thought here is it speaks to the Iowa that we live in right now, and it was talking about the wind generation we have in Iowa, and I'd just like to read a quick remark. Iowa is the first state in the country to consistently obtain more than one-third of its electricity from wind generation, wind energy promotions, and Iowa officials said last week, in Iowa, wind power supplies more than 35% of the state's electricity, according to Governor Branstad. That puts the percentage of wind farms far in front of any other state and supports 7,000 jobs here. Wind energy is responsible for over $12 billion of investment in the state, which powers our economy and benefits our families. Just so you know,
And Story County was the absolute leader in that. Only one of us was sitting here when Story County took the lead. Story County was the absolute leader for the state of Iowa, and it's thrilling to see how that's gone, Wayne. And congratulations to you and the previous board for putting that in. Anything else?
None.
Take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.